This is the weekly message from Northwest Community Church in Tampa, Florida. Pastor Scott Collins brings you the message.
Today's service is going to be a little different. We're doing a Thanksgiving service where we just ask people to come up and share what they're thankful for and what God has been doing in their lives, and gives us a chance to hear from our body and to know that God is active and He's at work in our lives. And I wanted to start by reading a psalm. If you have your Bibles with you, you might want to read with me. It's Psalm 100. I'd really like you to listen to the words to this psalm. The psalm says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." God is the God of all gods. He's the creator of all the earth. He put everything together so that we would be a part of His plan. I mean, we are here today because He is actively at work in our lives. When we read Psalms, and I think it's our culture, you know, when we hear stuff like "shout for joy to the Lord," we shout, but we shout for football games or highlight reels or things that excite us. And we don't often really understand that we should love the Lord with all that we are. And when the Bible says to shout to the Lord, you know, we don't even know what that looks like. You know, I mean, anybody here like football? You know, if you're a football fan, unless you're a Falcon fan, you have a lot to shout about. Well, the Bucks did beat the Falcons. So unless, you know, when you're watching a game, you get enthusiastic, you get excited, because it means something to you. And the Lord, man, without Him, we wouldn't even have breath. We are all alive today. We're here experiencing this life, this journey, because He gave us life. We are His, the sheep of His pasture. So when the Bible says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth," God wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to shout to Him. He wants us to sing praises to Him, to love Him with all that we are. So I want to remind you that as you sing and as you praise Him today, it's okay to give Him all your heart. You know, to allow your emotions to be filled with His presence, because He's here. He's right here, right now. And He wants us to come to Him. So I want to pray that we would just find a humble place in our hearts, that we would look to God. And then we're going to have a couple testimonies, and we're going to ask God to minister to us and to work in us and through us and just to be glorified here today. So would you pray with me? Lord, we come to You with humility because You are God and we are just Your servants, Lord. You created us and You called us to be Your own. And You've placed us exactly where we are at this time and this place for Your purpose, for Your glory, for Your honor. And God, I pray that we would consider that, think about that. Lord, that we would understand how great You are. And God, because of Your goodness and Your love towards us, that we would respond with thanksgiving. Fill our hearts with thanksgiving this morning. And not just today. God, I pray that You would fill us with thanksgiving every day, every moment of every day, God, that we would overflow with thanksgiving for who You are and what You've done in each of our lives, for saving us and calling us and changing us, God, from the inside out. We love You and we praise You and we ask that You would be glorified here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Karen, if you'd make your way up. This is Karen Catone. And I've asked Karen to share first what she's thankful about and what God's been doing in her life. Karen, you have to hold it up kind of close.
Okay. Good morning. I have so many things to be thankful for. Good health, family, friends, friends that have gone, family, and so much more. However, my biggest thanksgiving is that God did not give up on me. He spoke to me for many, many years, and I chose not to listen. I was too busy living my life. The life that I thought was perfect, or so I thought. Married to my best friend, wonderful children, we had our own business, great jobs, money, you name it, we had it. Today, I know that since God chose me, or if God has chosen you, he will do whatever he sees fit to get your attention. And with me, he just did that, did just that. 5 years ago, things began falling apart. And it happened pretty quick. Perfect job gone. My husband left. One child with legal problems, the other one wandering aimlessly. Depression, fear, anxiety, darkness, thoughts of suicide set in. All of a sudden, everyone was gone, and I was all alone. That's when I realized I was in trouble. I knew I had hit rock bottom. I threw myself into the new job, trying to drown my pain that way. And when that wasn't working, I slept. About a year later, I attended a funeral that Pastor Scott gave the eulogy. During this service, I was fidgety, I was restless, knowing, feeling guilty. God was finally talking to me, and I was ready to listen. When Pastor Scott closed, he said the following thing. I'll never forget it. The next thing I'm going to say is going to make most of you mad, but I don't care, because you probably need to hear it, and I'm not going to see most of you anyway. Well, that's a true story. I've shared that one a lot. Needless to say, I needed to hear whatever it was, and I don't remember that today. Yes, it made me mad. And the following week, well, actually, at that point, God truly had my attention. And the following week, I walked through the doors here at Northwest Community. That was 4.5 years ago, and I have yet to leave. Since coming here, I've dedicated my life to the Lord, and I choose to follow him today and always. Many changes have occurred as God began pruning me. The changes became apparent to everyone, including me, and some days I didn't even know myself. Anxiety and panic were gone. The depression became tolerable. All that was replaced with God's peace, even during the storms of my life. As he continued pruning me and the layers pulled away, my prayer life increased. I had a desire for his guidance. My way wasn't working anymore. It never did. He began answering prayers, and he's pretty clear and pretty loud with me. There's no mistaking when he's talking. I had been praying about what to do with my life for several months. When I attended our annual back to school bash the first year, what a great time. I met many new people and learned new things. The next day, a pastor called me and told me I had won a raffle of a back-to-school backpack. At almost 50, I knew I was headed back to school. God cleared the path for me, and I would return to transition from LPN to RN. That was a life dream. The whole process from application to acceptance was less than a month, and in November of 2011, I was back in school. Another miracle in my life from God. At that point, my husband was still gone. I continued praying for guidance. The signs were clear to me. Stand firm. God heals and restores. School continued, and during the first week of finals, the first semester, I find out that divorce had been filed and had already a court date been set. The court date was one day before our 21st anniversary. I was devastated, but was able to keep my eyes focused on the Lord and pray through it. That same evening, I attended a marriage conference here at the church, knowing divorce had been filed. My husband knew that I would be attending the entire weekend, and after every session, he called with questions. I answered the best I could, because at that point, I still didn't know a whole lot. He also knew that I didn't want the divorce, and oftentimes invited him to church. Though he's yet to come, he knows a seat is being saved for him, until God fills it with him or somebody else. I eventually signed his papers, and after 21 years, we were no longer married. In spite of how it looks to the world, I knew then, and I know now, I'm to stand firm, believe in God, and trust in him for the outcome. I'm thankful today that during the whole divorce process, up to this minute that we've remained friends. We were never angry, bitter, or used the grown children as tools, not a typical divorce in this world. Since that time, up until today, I've completed school. I became a college graduate and a registered nurse at 50. In spite of it all, today I still give God the glory. That's his degree, not mine. Some days I don't know how I made it to school. I've participated in many Bible studies here at Northwest. I'm active in Wings, and I'm thankful for everybody that I know and love here. I'm thankful to have participated in the first women's discipleship led by Cassandra. There were four very unlikely women coming together with our same desire to have a personal relationship with Jesus and learn how to walk in his footsteps. The time we spent in discipleship changed us all. The bond, the love, and the friendship that developed continues to this day. I don't know what I'd do without them. I'm thankful that I am now discipling two wonderful women and can't wait to see where God takes us. Today, I know and I am thankful that I am a child of God. Through the strongest of storms, he has never left me. He has always loved me, even when I didn't love myself. Great thing about that is that today I know that nothing I can ever say or do will change that. He loves me in spite of me. Amen. Today I'm spending this journey through life with God, knowing that his plans are far better than any I could have for myself. I've come a long way in the past 4.5 years and know there's still much to do. I am truly living proof that God will change us if we just let him. I'm thankful that I finally listened to him calling me. And today, my biggest thanks is knowing that when I die, I'm going home.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ken. I met Karen at a funeral, and it was our greeter who used to greet before Terry, Tony, who was a greeter for years at the front. Great smile, great man. And, you know, sometimes we look at death as such a sad thing, but God uses everything. The Bible says, and I don't know if you've ever looked at this, but it's something you should note. Maybe you should write it down. Psalms 116, if you like the Psalms, verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death," which is pretty awesome. "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why? Because they're coming home. It's a welcoming home party for God. When we get to leave this place, we get to go home. And that's, man, something to be thankful for, that we have nothing to fear in death. Nothing at all. The second person I asked to come up here is Mike. Mike, if you'd make your way up. This is Mike Iyer Jr. So if you give Mike a big Northwest welcome as he hops his way up here. Mike, if you'll keep this up close to your mouth.
I'll try. I'm not used to making speeches or it's kind of new to me. And, you know, thank you for allowing me a chance to share my testimony with you.
Higher. There you go.
I'm grateful for God who has made all this possible. And I'm grateful for all the things he has made around us possible through his creation and will. I'm grateful for God for loving us so much that he gave his son, who died for us and gave up his perfect life so that we may have a relationship with God again. Our God who loves us beyond our own understanding. I'm grateful for the birth of my father and my mother and the paths they took and which made me possible. I'm grateful for the miraculous birth of my baby sister, Cassandra. I mean, seriously, folks, my mother's tubes were cut and tied, so it was pretty miraculous. It was a miraculous birth to me. Why, I do not know. Maybe to save our family from falling apart. But I do know later that she did save my life, save me from taking my life, and any future thoughts of suicide from that point forward. I am grateful for returning to Christ back in September 2006, but I was deeply torn from the way the churches do judge others in how others place themselves above another, or because of who they are, or their jobs, or their job structure or status. And at some churches, you are required to act and dress a certain way. And then you have some pastors who offer salvation for a price. These and many other things were instantly turned me away from Christianity, and at one point in my life turned me away from Christianity. So yes, after September 6th, I was a Christian, but I was dead in my walk with Christ and God. And I'm grateful for the day that my back broke, because from that day forward, I had to learn and trust and rely on others for help. Then a few months later, I had to learn I can only trust in God alone. I'm grateful for the night of June 6th when I was totally broken, unable to work, and for the first time in my life, I had no roof over my head. That night, I truly called out to God, and I'm so grateful that God and Jesus heard my prayers that night. I slept in the stairway, but I slept at peace. I am grateful that my dear friend, unable to work that day, the next morning because the crew didn't show up for work, came clear across town and miraculously stopped at the McDonald's I was at because I had to use her connection for to her service. Happy to see me, and I was happy to see him also. I told him my story, and he told me to stay exactly where I was and went to the bank and withdrew $150 and gave it to me and told me to find a place for the week, and we will work it out, not to worry. About noon that same day, I got a call or a text that really literally turned my whole world around. Here's a text from my baby sister, Cassandra, asking me to come home. I was so grateful. I'm so grateful to Cassandra and Pastor Scott, my brother-in-law, for opening their hearts and their homes to me and giving me time to heal physically and spiritually. I'm grateful for the way each and every one of you here has opened your hearts and welcomed me here without prejudice, but with genuine love. I am grateful for my brother-in-law, Pastor Scott, for opening my eyes to scriptures that I did not understand, mainly John 1:1-5. And to see someone completely surrender his life to Jesus and see Jesus meet his needs in every way. I am grateful for the disciple, for David Anderson, for becoming my disciple, for taking the time each Sunday morning before church service to share his life and his time with me. I'm also grateful to Bill Davis for sharing his time and volunteering his time and keeping me busy. I have gone down some really dark road and rocky roads in my life, which has led my father to ask me to stay away from home because of my ex-wife, which was addicted to crack cocaine. And that had led to a lot of misunderstandings and anger towards me, which only grew over time. Well, I wasn't coming home, and because I was told to stay away, I was not, and he was not calling me. It was just not going to happen. So I'm truly grateful for being home. I am truly grateful for the year it took for my father to see that I wasn't this bad person that he believed I to be. I'm grateful to my father for letting me back into his life and for giving after I have nearly given up hope and that would ever happen again. But God saw my pain in prayers. I am so grateful for coming home and after so many years and giving it all to God. It's all about him, not me. In 2 Corinthians 2:12-9, he said, "In my grace is sufficient to you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." So I'm grateful for my broken back, and I'm thankful for being home.
Thank you, Mike. Everybody go the other way.
You know, everybody goes through difficult times. Life is challenging. One of the greatest statements that Jesus made was John 16:33. He said, "In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, for I've overcome the world." And we have the victory because of what Jesus has done for us. And that provides for us power because we can walk in His presence. And that power sustains us through our difficulties, through our circumstances, through our trials. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Be joyful always, pray continuously, and give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." To be thankful and to have a thankful heart. And you know, we do it every year. It's Thanksgiving and we talk about being thankful, but this should be an attitude that we carry with us, that we should be thankful for all that God has done and all that God has given, for who He is in our lives. And so I hope that today that you'll think about all the reasons you have to be thankful. All the friends, the family, the blessings, the relationship that you have with Him, the forgiveness that He offers through Jesus. Man, those things can't be bought. You can't buy forgiveness. You can't buy freedom. And yet God has given it to us and He's blessed us with His love. We're going to have a couple more testimonies. Candy, if you'd make your way up. This is Candy Headline, one of our newest members. She joined the church last week. Give Candy a big Northwest welcome. Candy.
Thank you. You're going to have to bear with me a little bit. I just changed everything I was going to say. Everyone has covered so much that we are so blessed. And yes, we all love our families and our friends and our homes. And I'm no exception to that. But my life has been changing. Oh, Lord, help me. In the last couple of years, I have gone from working probably 60 hours a week to being retired. And that's got a lot of challenges. That you do a lot of work and all of a sudden you have no work. Okay, this is not going well. But my son, Rob, and Irene, my daughter-in-law, asked me to come and live with them and retire and help them with the home and their grandchild. And that is a blessing, and that's one of the things I'm most grateful for. But not the most grateful for. As you get older, you start looking back over your life and you see so many things that are not coincidences. And it's not a coincidence I'm here today that we found this church, because God is using it to stretch me. And you can tell I'm not a public speaker either. But He is worth praising, and it's worth going out of your comfort zone for Him. And that's the only reason I'm up here. I did not grow up in a church like this. I really wish I had. But my grandparents, who are both gone, would pray every single day for every person in the family. And I knew that before I was ever saved. And they would make us pray with them, you know. And so every morning you get up, you read some Bible, and you pray for everyone in the family. And that can take a while. And so I did not look forward to it. But it was an example of something I need to be. And it made me see, you know, they pray for stuff and it changes. And they were praying for my salvation, but I didn't know that. And when I was 18, I went to bed. I was having bronchitis problems, and that was nothing new. I had grown up with that very, very often. I couldn't breathe. I would be sitting up sleeping. But this night was different, and I woke up. Everyone's still up. I could still hear the TV on, and I couldn't breathe at all. quite like this. I can breathe now. And you may not hear a lot, but I couldn't talk. I was screaming at the top of my lungs for my mother, and I could barely hear myself. And I did that for quite a while. And she finally went in, turned off the TV, and she was getting ready to go to bed. And I don't think she checked on me most nights, because I always was coughing and couldn't breathe. But she checked on me. And when she opened the door, I guess she could see better than I did how I looked. And the look on her face just totally terrified me. And then she turned on the light, and my hands were blue. I didn't know that. And I was already scared, but that scared me a lot more. And they rushed me to the emergency room, just right down here in St. Pete. I don't know which hospital, but we lived in Redington Beach at the time. And the doctors are pumping you full of who knows what and trying to put in an IV, and they're telling you to just relax. Everything's going to be fine. You're going to be okay. And the Holy Spirit does not let you relax when that's going on. Because it was going over and over again in my head. You are about to meet God. You are going to stand before Him. And you are not ready. And that played over and over and over in my mind. And there was no way I was going to relax. And I could not relax, because I could not get rid of that thought. And if I could get rid of that thought, I probably could have relaxed, but I couldn't. And you can hear the doctors and nurses behind the curtain. They always think you can't hear through those things. But it's very obvious. You know, they're like, I wish she would just pass out. She'd be fine. I'm like, oh, no way. You know, I cannot face God. I can't do this. And so after they had done everything they could do, they let my pastor come in and see me. And I always thought of him more as my mom's pastor, because I had never talked to him. You know, I had shaken his hand on the way out of church, and that was pretty much it. But he came in, and he told me exactly what I needed to hear. And at first it didn't seem that way, because he says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. And I was like, yep, I know that. there was no doubt in my mind where I was going and what was happening. But he said, the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And that was the hope I needed. And he explained to me that I could stand before God in Christ's righteousness, not having a righteousness of my own.
Amen.
That when God looked at me, he would see Jesus.
Amen.
Instead of me. And he explained a few more things. I don't remember all the words. But by the time he said, would you like to pray with me and ask Jesus to be your Savior, I couldn't shake my head fast enough. I couldn't talk. I was still. The medications they were giving me were doing nothing. But God could hear me. And he saved me that day. And he has never left me. And he has brought me to this church to remind me of that, because I have been away from the church for a long time. It has been a good 20 years since I have been active in any church. And you don't know what a blessing this place is until you're away from it. It is very hard to read God's word and to try to be a Christian with no one else to help you. And that situation is one that would take hours to explain, and I don't know that I have the composure to do it. But God has seen me through it.
Amen.
And I am so grateful that He has, because I feel like the plants I take care of, I will cut back and cut back all the dead. And it's like after every time we get a good windstorm, we have bird of paradise and different plants, and they've got branches that are going like this. And you get out there and you cut them all back. And after a while, there's new growth. And it's nice and green and it's hopeful. But I have been like this for far too long. And I want to be able to be a part of this church and be active and help it grow as it helps me grow. And I don't want to give up on y'all, because God has not given up on me.
Yeah, thank you, Candy. Thank you very much. Cassandra, it's your turn. I've asked my wife today to share. I've never actually asked her to share in a Thanksgiving service, and I thought, you know, it'd be nice to be here what she's thankful for. I mean, I get to hear it, but I'd like the church to hear all the wonderful things that she is thankful for.
Thank you, babe. So it's funny, I can actually say thank you, babe, instead of thank you, pastor. But anyways, I was just thinking about that. So as I thought of what I was most thankful for, he asked me, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago. And every time I would think, different relationships would come to my mind. And there are so many awesome friendships and relationships that I've had through this church and through the body of Christ. And I see so many of your faces out there as well. But so it has always been about the relationships. And first and foremost, I am thankful that God chose me in the depths of my depravity. He rescued me and gave me new life through His Son, Jesus. God has opened my eyes to understand and to know His truth to the extent of my capabilities, of course. Secondly, I'm most thankful for my relationships, again, here with those that He has also called. So many great and awesome friendships and relationships that God has placed into my life to reveal various aspects of His character. I won't elaborate on all of them, but one I do want to mention in particular is my husband, Scott Collins. Okay. Anyways, so God reveals His loving character through him to me all the time. Sorry. And I'm so very thankful for him. Scott truly is the most generous and humble and loving man that I know. And to others, he might come off as harsh or direct or even prideful, but to those that know him well, you can really see in his heart that what he wants is to love others the way that Christ has loved him. And sometimes that includes being direct with the truth. But as I think of that direct and loving thankfulness, that is exactly what God does with us. As Candy was saying with the pruning, that was beautiful. It is because that God loves us that He has allowed us to go through the trials and the hardships and the difficulties. The most amazing relationships that I have, the absolute best ones, have always been refined by fire. And Scott and I would be the first to admit that our relationship was not always a cakewalk. In the early stages, it was very, very difficult. And I'm sure you guys can attest to that on the front row there. But it was absolutely necessary in order to grow together as a couple. Two stubborn, strong-willed individuals, never willing to give up on the other, no matter how unlovely the other one was, majority of me, but that's okay. It was through those fiery times there that God was challenging us to grow spiritually. And I am so thankful and blessed that God has called me his child and that Scott and I are united as one through marriage. I am truly blessed with so many great friendships and relationships, and I really couldn't elaborate so much how awesome you guys are. As a church body and as friends and brothers and sisters in Christ, you guys are really amazing. But I just want to say again that it is through every one of them, through the difficulties, even if it's just with communication, that those relationships have grown and matured. So that's it. Thank you, babe. I love you.
Thank you. Trial by fire. Yeah, the first couple of years were a nightmare, but they definitely grew us together. Nancy, where's Nancy at? I know I saw you earlier. Nancy Kondacek, if you give a big welcome for Nancy Kondacek.
Good morning. Well, I'm another one that is not into public speaking. And when Scott asked me earlier this week to speak, I knew I had to say yes, as much as my flesh hates to be up here with a microphone in my hand. And I had no idea what I was going to speak about, but when he asked me, my only answer could be yes. That's how much I trust my pastor. That's how much I trust God, that he would show me what I needed to speak when I got up here. And I have to say that listening to everyone that's spoken before me, he's confirmed exactly what he showed me to speak today. So I thank God for every testimony that was spoken today. Everyone spoke about trials. If you think about it, everyone spoke about hard situations bringing out the best in life. And that's what God wants us to rejoice in, is trials. And it's just amazing to me that we go through life resisting it and fighting it, and we don't realize how necessary they are. So that's what I'm going to talk about, is one of my hardest trials that I went through in my life that I'm most thankful for. And it just happened to happen the week of Thanksgiving in 1997. So this is about my mom. So Thanksgiving is my mom's favorite holiday, and it was the week of Thanksgiving, and she was going to cook. She was a fantastic cook. I come from a long line of great Italian cooks. I'm 100% Italian. I don't cook. So I grew up appreciating Thanksgiving. We always had tremendous amount of family and food and great time. So Thanksgiving is very near and dear to my heart. We just had phenomenal feasts. But when we moved to Florida, we didn't have much family left to have Thanksgiving with. So some years my mom's mom would come, or my uncle would come, or my brother would come. And some years I would go visit my dad instead. But this year I was in town. My daughter was 3, my son was 12, and we were getting ready to have a great feast at my mom's, and I was really excited. And the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, I got the phone call that all children dread. My mom was in the hospital, and they thought she had a stroke. So I went to the hospital, and it didn't seem that things were that bad. It just seemed like it was probably a minor stroke, and she would be okay. But inside, I just knew that I needed to go home and get some clothes and get myself prepared and come back for the night and stay with my mom. So I did. And the next morning, when the doctor came to speak to me after checking over my mom, he looked me directly in the eyes, and I'm a very direct person. Scott's probably my twin, so he just looked me in the eyes, and he said, "Your mom will be dead in 3 to 5 days," just like that. And I was devastated. I was shocked to my core, one, because it was my mom, but two, because I had no idea if my mom was saved, and I didn't know if she was going to heaven, and I was absolutely mortified. I remember going into a room by myself at the hospital after hearing this news and just crying out to God, begging him not to take my mom if she didn't know him. And I have never before interceded on behalf of another like I did that day when I got that news. I was so fearful for my mom's fate. That day, we were going to a different church at the time, and that day, one of the elders from the church came to pray with my mom. My mom was in a coma, and he asked my mom if she could hear him to squeeze his hand, and she did, and I was holding her hand, and she squeezed my hand too, so we knew that she could hear us, and he prayed with her, and he told her about God, and when he asked her if she was ready for Jesus, there was no hand squeeze. And I left even, I was just shocked. I couldn't believe what was happening. My mom was born in 1937, and she was raised by a really harsh mother that just, It was a hard life. My mom had a very, very hard life, and she was raised in Catholic Church. And back in that time, it was very, very strict. And she never, never learned about who God was and how loving God is. And she grew up to be very, very bitter. And when she married my dad, turns out that he was an alcoholic, and he was abusive to her. And it was a really bad relationship, and she wanted to get out. She had two kids at the time, my brother and my sister. And I hadn't even been born yet, and she found out that she was pregnant with me. And she contemplated getting an abortion, but she chose not to. And 5 years later, after I was born, she couldn't take it anymore. She had to escape my dad. It was just that bad. So she got a divorce, and my sister stayed to raise me because she knew how hard that it was to be in that household. Later on, a few years later, my sister died tragically. It was horrifying for my family. And I couldn't believe everything that had just taken place in my life up to that point. And my mom just did not know God at all. My sister had gotten involved in a cult before she died, so my mom was even more angry at God, and she did not have any type of relationship with him. So I started going to church. I broke free of all of that, praise God, and I started going to church and learning the truth. I did not want anything to do with the Catholic Church because I just knew that there was more to a relationship with Christ than what they had to offer. So I went out on my own to the fear of my own family because they thought I was following in the fate of my sister, but praise God, I was not. I was finding a true relationship with God. My mom had a really hard time when we were growing up to even tell us that she loved us. She couldn't even speak those words. She couldn't even write them in a card. But I was bound and determined that when I had kids, they would know that they were loved. So I made sure to always tell my kids that I loved them, but I could never say it to my mom. I just couldn't say it. We'd be at family gatherings, and I'd go and hug and kiss everybody goodbye, all my relatives, and when it got to my mom, I froze. I couldn't do it. And one day, my mom grabbed me, and she's like, "Hey, I want some of that." And she told me she loved me. And from that point on, my mom and I could speak it to one another. And real healing was coming. My mom saw that I was involved in the right kind of church, that I had the right relationship with Christ. And she used to tell me, "I don't know how you have what you have. I've never known God to be like that." So all these things were swirling through me when I found out that she was dying. My sister was gone. I knew even more so that there was a purpose for my life. And I just kept hearing over and over inside of me, "For such a time as this, for such a time as this, for such a time as this." So fast forward a couple months, and that song at the time, this was 1998. Now, my mom survived, by the way, and it's February. of 1998. That song is popular on the radio. Every day when I'm going to the hospital or going to the nursing home to see my mom, I'd hear that song and it would be like, okay, I can get through this. We discovered that my mom's finances were in dire straits. She had 3 mortgages on her house. It was a really bad situation. My mom was a phenomenal cook, seamstress. She was the epitome of the 1950s wife, but she never had that option to enjoy that because of what happened with her and my father. And let me backtrack a second, because the week of Thanksgiving, I ended up having to cook for my family. So I cooked my first turkey. It was frozen when we went to go eat it. It did not work out. And I don't think I've ever cooked another turkey since then. I just don't do Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving, but it's not my thing. Anyway, I don't cook. Every year, we just have a new tradition. But also, my mom, every year, she used to have to make a craft for the school. There was a principal in a school in Illinois where we're from, and every year she wanted to give out a gift that my mom would make homemade. And my mom was an exceptional seamstress. She could sew, she could make anything. And the order was due, and it was due like the following week. And that year she didn't sew anything. She made candles, and she used hot glue guns, and it was something I could make. I tore those candles apart, and I was able to finish her order because she desperately needed that money. And I knew God's hand was in everything that was happening, even though it was the most horrific trial in the world in my life at that point. I knew that he was behind everything because I never would have been able to sew. I mean, I know God can work through everybody, but I couldn't cook the turkey. I mean, it's just not my thing. So anyways, fast forward to February, and it appears that my mom's going to get better, and we're preparing for her to come live with us. We're getting ready to get our house modified. We're having contractors out to build what's needed so she could come in, because all she could say was no. And my mom started coughing up blood, and we found out that she had cancer, and we were told that she had 4 weeks to live. And my mom had spent her whole life smoking, and it was devastating, and it was really bad. So I told my mom, we decided that she needed to know what was going on, and I told my mom what was going on. And my dad, who had gotten saved, no longer drank, he wanted to come see my mom. So I asked my mom, you know, Dad wants to come see you, is this okay? And she let me know, we had a way of communicating, and she let me know that it would be fine for him to come. And I have to say that growing up, my mom, as much as my dad was just horrible to her back then, every week, every Wednesday, she's like, call your dad. Every Sunday, she made me go visit him. I hated my dad growing up. I mean, I could not stand him. My first memories of him are not good. And she stood by that man, and she never spoke an ill word about him to me, not once. He never brought any harm to any of his kids. It was just a horrible relationship between them. But he eventually, after they split up, he quit drinking soon after that, and he turned his life completely around, and he also got saved. So my dad came, and my mom forgave him, and it was a beautiful thing. And right after that, like that Sunday, Tom and I just impromptu decided to go visit my mom. We decided not to go to church that night because there was an evening service, and we decided to go see my mom. It was February 22nd, 1998, and my mom was awake and alert, and she let us know that she wanted us to read her the Bible, and we were amazed because this was not normal. So Tom got his Bible out, and we started reading, and she just kept shaking her head no, that it wasn't what she wanted to hear. She wanted to accept Christ. She let us know that she was ready, and my husband and I got the pleasure of leading her to the Lord. Amen. And then I knew. Almost 4 weeks to the day later, it was time for my mom to die, and I can't thank God enough for what he did to bring her home, to bring everything full circle for her. I now have a grandson that's named after my dad. I mean, this is the kind of God I know, that when you give your life to him, he can be trusted. He's faithful. He is good. Trials are a good thing. We shouldn't run from them. They bring the greatest joy in life. Everyone that got up here and spoke today has testified to that. We should embrace them. I can't thank God enough for what he's done, and I will never forget that Thanksgiving. And I remember my mom all the time, but more so at Thanksgiving, because this was her holiday, and he brought her home, and he showed her what true love is. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.
Amen. Thank you, Nancy. Lord, we come to you, and that is our prayer, that you would come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And Lord, as we wait and we long for your appearing, God, give us hearts that long for you. God, give us courage to stand for you. God, give us the faithfulness to do what's right for your glory and for your honor, that the world might know that we love you and that we love one another. They might see that we are your disciples. We thank you, Lord, for all you do and all that you are, and just pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information, visit us at nwcc777.com.